Welcome to Town Matters on WWER. Town Matters is here to inform Colonial Beach residents about issues you are concerned with from as close to the source as we can get. The issues surrounding Colonial Beach Wastewater Treatment Plant have been highly visible to residents. In today's Town Matters, volunteer Rick Wood visits the plant shortly after operations were taken over by Inboden Environmental Services to find out firsthand what they are doing to improve operations.
This is Rick Wood. I'm visiting with John Simmons here at the wastewater treatment plant. And John is an employee of Inboden, who is the contractor who is taking care of the facility for us. By the way, John, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Tell us a bit about Inboden, because, you know, I had about a 10-minute more notice than the rest of the town did about who you are and what you do. So give us a little background as to your reason for being.
Sure. Inboden Environmental Services was established in 1996 by Terry Inboden. You know, we're a contract operations company. We do water and wastewater contract operations. We do engineering. We do repairs. We do construction. We do a little bit of everything. We're a turnkey service for the environmental water and wastewater treatment.
And you work with a lot of different municipalities. Can you give us an example of a few?
We work for, you know, towns like Hamilton, town of Buchanan. You know, we do a number of different projects all over the country. We have customers all the way from church camps to municipalities to homeowners. So we do a lot of private residences as well as towns as big as it gets.
Now, you work in King George as well, do you not?
We have a contract for King George County. We run a service authority there, the water and wastewater operations. You know, they do their own maintenance and have their own crews for that, but very similar to what we do here.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about how you came to us, because we were having some issues, obviously, with spills and so forth here at our wastewater treatment plant. And we were in pretty bad shape, weren't we?
Yeah, you guys were in pretty bad shape. I had heard that you all were having some difficulties here. I had came down and tried to offer some assistance at one time, and I don't think they were really interested in it with previous management. And then Natasha, you know, of course, the current administrator, she heard about us through another municipality, another town, a town of Middleburg. So she reached out and asked if we could come by and talk to her, and we did. You know, we come and sat down with Natasha and come and toured the facility, and pretty quickly realized you guys needed some help, and we knew we could help you.
Tell us about what you've accomplished so far, because you've done a good deal in a very short period of time.
Yeah, you know, we've got a lot of the equipment here that was offline. We've got it back online. We've got it working. We've got treatment established. You know, we've got good disinfection for the waters going out to the receiving stream. You know, it's really just changing the processes, operating the plant the way it was designed to operate, and, you know, get a lot of these components that are critical back online.
The contract with the town, we are maintaining the equipment, just as you said, you're doing with the King George. And you guys are manning the personnel and taking care of the administration of the plant. And then when something like a pump breaks, something to that effect, you have to come to us to replace that.
Yeah, we provide the labor for the operations. We do the administrative work, all of the paperwork, the reporting. We meet the reporting requirements for DEQ. As far as we do basic maintenance. We'll do the greasing, changing the belts, things of that nature. But when there is a critical failure or something needs to be replaced or rebuilt, then, of course, we would reach out to, you know, Chris over in the Public Works Department, and then, you know, the town would then pick up that from there on. And it's another way to save money for the town to continue to do those things in-house. Absolutely.
Are we able to piggyback on some of your relationships, even though we're paying for it?
Yes. You know, what we do, when we reach out, you know, under IES, we get some pretty good attention from people.
Okay.
You know, and they will definitely take care of you all just like they would us. And, you know, the better relationships you have with your vendors, it's going to be easier for everybody.
Sure. So, consequently, we're going to see some benefit in just the economy of scale.
Oh, absolutely. There's going to be a lot of cost savings here by being able to take advantage of just relationships that we have, us being involved to make sure that you're not being taken advantage of by any contractor you use now. You know, so there's just a lot of different things that we bring that it could be a savings in the long run, because we're going to recommend the most realistic approach to fixing things instead of just letting someone come in and promise you something you don't need.
How far are we away from being where the plant needs to be? I realize you're doing a certain amount of triage at this point.
Right. We're just triage every day. You know, as far as when the plant's going to be 100% again, it's probably going to take a couple years, you know, realistically. But as far as being able to meet consistent DEQ requirements, that'll happen pretty quick. You know, there's already a number of pumps and things on order now that we're just waiting for delivery. There's been a lot of improvements made just in the past month. So, you know, we will be sustainable very soon. But as far as long term, it took years of neglect to get this thing where it is now, and it's going to take us a little while to get it back to where it needs to be.
The thing I'm sure everybody wants to know is, have we decreased our risk of spills like the one
you
that
have definitely decreased your risk of spills, and you're providing a lot better quality effluent to the receiving water. It makes the environment cleaner, the water cleaner. So everything that the town has done so far is nothing but a benefit.
Is this a contract that you feel that you're glad you took? Obviously, you always want to be successful at the end of anyone.
Absolutely, we're glad to be here. We're glad that we can come and help this community. I've met nothing but the positivity here in this area. You know, we want to be part of the solution here. So,
yeah, but part of what you bring to me as a council person, honestly, the first responsibility we have for the community is to make it safer. And frankly, I get a little extra pillow time by being able to fall asleep a little more easily, knowing that you guys are on the job.
That's good to hear that, because we're definitely glad to be here, and we know that we're the right people for this job.
So we're going to take a little tour of the plant, and hopefully we'll do our best jobs of describing what we're looking at and learn a little bit about operations.
That's good. Let's do it.
Okay. Obviously, we can't share any of the numbers that we're looking at here today, but just going through the results of the tests that we've done, there seems to be a marked decrease in not only the number of violations, but even when there are violations, it's a lot less high on the Richter scale than it used to be.
You know, what you're seeing is the amount of violations plus the disinfection. You know, the only time that we're not meeting our disinfection limits is when we're having real high flow during rain events. And even then, we're still not even a fraction of what they were before.
Explain to us what the disinfection is, because obviously you're making it less nasty than it was, but what does that mean, really?
You're killing off the E. coli, the enterococci, the fecal coliform. You know, we have UV lights here that the water has to pass through for disinfection. And the only time that we've had any samples that exceeded just very little bit was because that water's going through those UV lights too fast. And that's because of how fast it's coming in the plant due to the rain. So, you know, just overall, the quality of the effluent coming out of this plant is, it's not even comparable to what would happen before.
It's night and day different.
Yeah, it really is. It's way different.
We hear in the background Chris Rupte, who is the acting public works director. And Chris, you were involved with this before Imboden took over. Now you're part of the team here. Tell us your experience of the difference between the before and the after.
It's night and day different. When they find something wrong, we talk about it, they let me know, and if it's something I need to order, we're getting it ordered and giving up. There are things at this plant that I didn't even know were non-op, and they're still finding things that have been either classified as non-op or have been classified as non-op, and that's not the real case. It's night and day difference.
I think you had mentioned during the town council meeting last time that you feel as if you're in a much more comfortable place as far as the equipment that you're requesting and being head of the game instead of constantly playing whack-a-mole.
So, to answer that question, you specifically asked me about pump stations.
Yep, I did.
We are in a more comfortable place, but, I mean, again, you can have equipment failure. We just experienced that this week. Here, you can't. You can prepare for the best, hope for the best, but you have to really prepare for the worst, because eventually something's going to fail.
Understood. And because you had requested some of this equipment beforehand, and because Imboden has taken a firm hand in this, that the situations that you run into aren't disasters, because you're able to fend them off. The problems aren't as bad, from what I understand, okay? And the fact that you've got help on the way, and that the equipment's being ordered and it's going to be replaced.
In the last 5 weeks, the amount that these two guys right here have learned about this plant and shown me about this plant, this doesn't keep me up at night. It might keep them up at night, but it doesn't keep me up at night anymore. I'm not afraid that my phone's going to ring every week at 1 o'clock in the morning because there's a problem here.
Well, that's a good place to be, or a better place to be.
It's a better place to be. Okay. It'll be a great place to be once these guys don't have... I would say that, I mean, we've been a hell of a team trying to get this stuff done and where it needs to be.
Well, great. Let's go take a look at your handiwork here.
Let's do it. This is where we do all of our process control testing and set our samples up to be delivered to the certified laboratory for reporting.
What takes place here? Obviously, you do testing, but...
They do process control testing. They check dissolved oxygen, pH. They check mixed liquor, volatile solids, a number of things in here to make sure that the plant's operating effectively.
If there were a problem, it would show up here first, correct?
Absolutely. We're going to know when there's a treatment issue well before it hits the receiving stream.
What else have we got to see here? What do we have here?
This is our chemical room where we do our polymer mixing.
Okay.
And it's really not that cool stuff. Then we're going to slide through here.
Right. Appreciate you, buddy. Yeah, I'm glad I didn't wear my flip-flops. Because we're walking through some water I suspect I wouldn't want to walk through with
flip-flops.
These
are two of the new pumps that you all had approved to purchase that they've been talking about. These are return pumps. That line on that gauge is what blew this morning, and it just shot up to the ceiling. Yeah, this is where it all happens. They're just going to be cleaning this up right now.
But what was the benefit of having the brand new pumps here?
It gives us the ability to waste. If you cannot waste out your solids, then you're not really treating wastewater. You know, solids management is the most important part of what we do. And these pumps give you the ability to waste out your old sludge.
I understand.
These are three pumps that had failed. Two of them are failing offline. One of them works. Chris has ordered new pumps, and this is where they've been in here replacing these pumps. So this repair is in process now.
They're just completely offline, those two?
Correct.
Okay. And when will the new pumps be here? Do we know?
I believe they are arriving within the next 2 weeks, and that's why they're in here starting to actually take them out so they can get ready for the new ones.
Great.
It's all happening pretty soon. This is our blower room where you have all of your blowers and motors and things for giving us dissolved oxygen for mixing various tanks. All that is pretty important equipment in there. You know, a lot of these things were tripping breakers. They wouldn't run effectively. And Jamie come out here and cleaned the air filters, and now they're working great.
So just something as simple as air filter maintenance.
Yeah. This is the headworks. This is where we screen out the products from the water so it doesn't get into the facility. You have four pumps here that pump the water from the lift stations into the EQ tanks.
And forgive me for being a complete neophyte, but products being?
Women products and diapers and things like that.
Okay, yeah. I got you.
And they cause havoc on a wastewater plant. We have two pumps here that are inoperable. They also have those pumps on order and are waiting for those. That was part of the reason why there was an overflow here, is because of a failed computer system and then two pumps that don't work.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I want people to understand is that even though the facility is running a lot cleaner than it does, the atmosphere outside is not particularly pleasant, right?
No, there's a lot of things here that needs to be fixed because we have single point failures. We have equipment that if it fails, that is the last piece that will do what its function is. So we need redundancy, and we need it as soon as we can get it.
Okay, and what are we doing to take care of that?
We have our workarounds. We have other pumps in place that we could move here in an emergency. If we were to have a failure here, we can bypass the headworks and pump the water straight into the tanks from the lift station, from the force main. So anything here that we've identified as a single point failure, we've come up with some type of workaround in case it did go down.
Let me ask you, and maybe this is an opinion question, but with the significant rainfall events we've had recently, if you guys had not come aboard and made the changes you made, would we have had a breach?
We already prevented one.
That's what I wanted to know. Thanks.
This place got a lot of stairs.
It's okay. You got the defibrillator, right? Sounds good. Actually, I got a little thing about heights, quite honestly.
Hey, Rick, I haven't had a chance to introduce you to Jamie. Jamie's our project manager. He also manages the George contract as well.
Okay.
What's Jamie's last name again?
Jamie Silvis, and project manager.
Okay, Jamie, it's good to meet you.
Good to meet you.
Now that we've climbed the stairway to heaven here, we're not overlooking heaven, are we? We're over two big tanks. What are these tanks?
These are your EQ tanks / anoxic tanks. And these are the tanks that in the moonshot presentation were covered with vegetation and kind of land. As you see behind you, some of it is still here, but about 90% of it's gone.
Okay, so here's what I'm confused by. And it's something I think most laymen were too. It looked basically as if we had a forest in there.
It did.
And the way it was described to us is somebody's going to have to go down the tanks with buckets and clear that stuff out. That obviously has not happened, but it's gone. So what's the trick?
What it is the equipment here, the mixers have failed. The air diffuser system has failed. But we're still able to use it enough to keep the tank mixing to prevent, you know, that from forming in the middle, creating that forest.
Okay.
And these tanks, this is for denitrification. You know, what you have here is this receives the water from the lift stations so it doesn't surge the plant. It comes in here, it's able to pump from here to the rest of the plant slowly so it feeds it, you know, so it gets proper treatment. But it also acts as a denitrification zone. So once we go to our nitrification tanks, that's when we get our ammonia removal.
Right.
When it returns back to these tanks, it goes to denitrification, and that's where you start removing your nitrates. And as it goes back through the plant, it just continues the process. So these tanks were pretty important. It was vital for us to get these back online. And that's why when you were looking at those sample results, they're much lower now, is because these tanks are all now functioning the way they're designed.
But where did the physical vegetation go?
Right. Well, the vegetation was really... Some of your vegetation is going to be processed through the plant. You know, the town crew has been cleaning it out of pumps. They've been cleaning it out of pipes. It's been everywhere.
So congratulations, Chris. That was a fun job, I'm sure.
But what it was is this looks like it's just dirt.
Right.
But that's not what that is. That is solid. That is what we call mixed liquor. That is sludge that has denitrified, came to the top, has surfaced.
Okay.
And then the seeds come in with the birds and everything else, and it grows vegetation.
I see.
So by us agitating this water the way that you see, we're breaking up that solids mass that it was growing in, and
right,
it's all just coming apart.
Guess we don't need those 5-gallon pickle buckets.
We will not be getting in here with 5-gallon buckets.
Sounds good. Okay, we heading down? Yeah. While we're climbing these stairs, this is a good time to ask, when's the last time the maintenance has been done on these bad boys?
You don't want to know the answer.
Okay.
But if they're going to hold me, they'll hold me.
I understand.
It's not a matter of you and me, it's a matter of us.
That's it. Okay, now you're going to tell me what goes on in this tank, right?
Yeah, Jamie explained this one. Now, here you have what we call jet pumps. Okay. These circulate the mixed liquor. This was another one that had failed, and Chris got a new motor and all and had it on here. Now it's back in service. When we started the project, only one of these nitrification tanks had the jet blower running, and only one was receiving air for dissolved oxygen. So now what we've done is we have both tanks receiving dissolved oxygen, and we have both jet pumps working in both tanks. So that's a big improvement in treatment.
And it seems like a stupid analogy, but someone said to me, for goodness sake, they have air blowers on fish tanks. They couldn't believe when you said that, well, you turned on the air tanks.
On the air.
So the fish tank analogy is a fair one.
Absolutely. You know, it's just much bigger.
Okay.
You know, if it's alive, it needs oxygen.
We're going to go up here, huh?
You're going up. These are 3 flights of stairs.
Now, I have to tell you, climbing up these green stairs, 3 flights of them, is this is our commitment to excellence to you here, Colonial Beach, because this is not something I do on the norm. Okay, now we got a big catwalk here, and what are we looking at?
So these are nitrification tanks. What happens here is it flows from the denitrification tank to these tanks,
okay,
and what happens here is where we get rid of ammonia. How we do that is we have the jet pumps on and we'll add air to it and inject the air to the jet pump flow. As it comes through here, you have to add alkalinity, you have to make sure your pH is right, you have to make sure your solids are right, and after it comes through here, it goes into your flock tank. This is really where everything happens. This is where a large amount of your treatment happens. I mean, if this isn't right, then not a lot's going to be right with the plant.
This was another tank in the pictures from Moonshot. Also had vegetation growing. See, all of that's now gone.
It's astounding. It is really absolutely astounding. Now, one of the questions that was asked of Chris during the council meeting, obviously we're going through a lot of chemicals, and we want to make sure that you had an aggressive ask on the amount we spend for chemicals, because if we run out, then we've got to try to go to the well, and that's not so easy.
Absolutely. One thing that we identified is one of the chemicals that is actually your biggest expense in chemicals was ineffective. It wasn't even the right chemical to be using here. Now, we have changed that chemical. We've gone from using it wasn't even the right lime, but we were using lime here. We've now switched over to soda ash light to control our pH and alkalinity. And what we're learning now is, you know, those guys were carrying 12 bags, 40-pound bags up those stairs every day and throwing them in these tanks.
Oh, my God.
So what we've done now is we have fixed the chemical delivery system here to where we can mix those bags in and pump it in. Now, we're now down to a third of the amount of bags we have to use. So the cost is going to, I think at the end of the year, it's probably going to be a little cheaper, but we need to make sure
we're using less of the right thing.
We need to have a couple months to really get a good budget idea to see where it's going to fall. It's kind of hard to go off of what was because it wasn't even the right chemical and you weren't even getting any benefit from it. So everything we've done so far has been to make treatment more efficient, and it's going to cost less in the long run.
Okay. So what do we got next?
Go down these stairs and we're going to go over to the next one. Unless you want to stand here and look from here.
I'm rapidly beginning to hate you here.
We go up and down these stairs about 40 times when it's on a ship.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Now, who's this guy right here?
This is Chris Jones. He's the utility supervisor.
Yeah, don't be modest, Chris. Okay.
And what's the alum pump?
Alum down, yeah. Polymer.
Because polymer.
Before we hop up in this bad boy, what are we going to see?
These are clarifiers.
Okay, and what are we going to see? We're going to see clear water? Is that what we're going to see?
We're going to see clear water in this one. This one is offline right now. This is the one with the rotation group, the failed one.
Okay.
And we're trying to get the slush cleaned out of that and get it back into the treatment system.
Okay.
So it's offline right now.
Then
this is where DEQ was very satisfied. It's all lime where they had put this on the ground where the tanks had overflowed.
What are these little sluice gates here?
What these are, this is your post-air tanks. This used to be your disinfection tank. So what this does is this puts oxygen back in the water before it goes to the receiving stream so you don't kill any fish off.
Because this looks like water.
This is clear water.
Yeah.
This was not very clear when we took over.
Is this drinkable water at this stage?
You could drink it, but I wouldn't. It tastes very good. And this is where it goes out to the bay. You can see the VNOS there. See how clear that is?
I want to ask for the question of people here. You can drink it, but I wouldn't. Is that simply because it's not tasty? Or
it's not tasty, and it is not recommended by the Virginia Department of Health to drink.
But it's not injurious to fish and wildlife when it goes into the bay?
Absolutely not.
And why is that? What is the reason?
Because it meets all the parameters. It has the proper pH. It has the proper dissolved oxygen.
Okay.
And that way, when it does hit the receiving waters, it does not remove the oxygen from the water when it gets there or create an acidic environment. So this water here that you see in this outside trough is what's going down there. You see what that is?
What we're looking at is another gigantic tank. The inside of it has some sort of algae fungus. I don't know quite how to describe it. It's going through what process to become that clean water there?
This is your clarifier tank. This is where your solids and your water separate. Your solids sink to the bottom and gets sent back to your nitrification tank for treatment, and then the clear water discharges out through sand filters, then disinfection through the post air to the receiving stream. And what you see on top of this tank is a little bit of floating scum, and then this device here is what removes that scum. The wiper comes around, pushes it in that box.
It's like a big pool skimmer,
it's
for lack
exactly
of a better
term. Yeah. So the water in this trough is what goes out, and you can see how clear that is.
Outstanding. Now we're over another big cylinder, and this is
another clarifier. And what you see here is this clarifier is offline for repair. Big arm you see in the middle of, that's your rotation group, and what that does is that kind of squeezes your solids on the bottom so your return pump can get the sludge back to the nitrification tank.
Since we're offline with this, how are we accomplishing what it normally does?
We're running all the flow through one side. This plant being as large as it is, we're able to take one side offline while we do maintenance.
I see. So we have redundancy built in, yes, basically.
And we'll have this up and running by the end of today.
See, I think it's important that people know that even if something goes wrong, it's not a disaster anymore.
And it's all about how you deal with it.
Dude, I've been up and down these steps so many times today.
Stand here and all we've vomited.
Wow, that's amazing. It is crystal clear to the bottom of the tank. And where are we here?
So here, this is your sand filters.
Okay.
So after it comes out of the clarifiers, it actually comes into here in this trough behind the sand filters. And then it comes down through underneath the sand filters, it comes up through, and the sand is constantly being returned by air.
I see.
And that air is what cleans the sand up so it doesn't get, it'll get stuck. And that was one of the things that we did find is that these sand filters had very limited throughput. And through the rain event and flushing these sand filters, what we were able to do is create more capacity with the three filters that we do have online.
So we created more capacity by simply doing some generalized maintenance?
Yes. And what you see back here, this is how you control the airflow so you're not blowing too much sand.
Right.
But you're keeping enough sand moving. If the sand stops moving, they build up an accumulation of solids.
And what we're looking at is, lack of a better description, it looks like an old school air pump at the service station when you need to fill your tire.
Exactly how it works.
And once it flows through here, it's actually flowing this direction and all the three sand filters that are online. And then there's a channel right here under this mat. Around comes this way, and this is your UV disinfection.
The water comes basically from aft to starboard, and then goes in a circular pattern after that to go through the UV disinfection, right?
Essentially.
Okay. And when we have significant rainflow events, it becomes a problem just because you have more water than the UVA filters can handle at a given time.
Yes.
What do we do in that particular instance?
When there's a lot more rain, what happens is you send as much through these sand filters as you can,
okay,
and what's left over will actually have to bypass. When we first started operations here, the first rain event we had, there was at least six inches to a foot of water going over the bypass, which means that water is not going through the sand filter, which is very important. It helps clean the water even further. Since we've flushed these sand filters and have made some bigger changes by changing weir plates, flowing the same flow rate, we hardly discharge any of the bypass whatsoever.
I understand. Thank
you. So now we need to get more sand filters online, and that's going to require parts, and that's, you know, that's where we will work closely with the maintenance team, and they'll order what we need, and we'll tell them what is needed.
Okay. Gentlemen, I can't tell you both how much I thank you for this. This was, as you well know, Chris, a disaster, not just waiting to happen, it had happened, and waiting to happen. So thank you for taking this burden off of us.
The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership.